Yes, true.
Well, I'm glad to see that so many people turned up for a distant presenter. That was very kind of you.
Okay, I think there is time, so 3:30. You want to start?
Okay, so, well, I'm Vance. Hi, everybody. Glad you made it. I was explaining earlier why I'm not here, but I won't go into that. So I've prepared an hour and a half presentation, which I'm going to see. I've got some. The reason I want you to have the slides is that you can go yourself to places that I may not be able to cover. I've anticipated that. So let me just start sharing my slides here, and there they are. This is the. We're going to talk about thinking small about social media assisted language learning, and I subtitled it "Why Not Call Small." So anyway, I meant to be ambiguous. You might not have realized the ambiguity, but it could be why not call small, or why not call it small. So that's because in this presentation, I really don't intend to overthrow any established order. I'm not saying that CALL is not a good acronym, but or that the next research conference should be called the SMALL Research Conference. So I'm not going that far. But anyway, I do intend to come back to some of the themes in Phil and Mike's article. And so basically, my talk is in three parts. I'm going to talk about the background regarding the case for CAI. Anybody remember CAI and CALL and SMALL? And a second point I want to make is about teachers having to use social media in order to teach it to students. There are going to be some links pointing you off to other places that I've been talking about that. But the last thing I'll do, to the extent that I have time, is show you some of the data I collected from a survey trying to find out how teachers in various parts of the world, educators I should say, are using small or social media with their students. So just to quickly run you through the backstory, I'm sure you're familiar with Bax and his work on normalization of computers in language learning and our lives in general. So he's suggesting, as we all know, that computers are everywhere. So the computer assisted is kind of like saying chalk assisted or whiteboard assisted and things like that in some respects. So his work got people thinking about whether or not there might be a better acronym to more accurately describe the role of computers in language learning. And Levy and Hubbard reposted in 2005 with their article, Why Call, Call, Call. And you can read the article. If you get the slides, you can click on that link. Let's see if I do this on my screen. Something should come up here. Yes, there you are. So it's linked to the ResearchGate version of their article. And they say that there's no reason to change call from call. It describes what we do. And it's something that's been in use, they said, for two decades at the time. Now it's over three decades. So it's a reliable and it's a good workhorse for us. But right at the bottom of the first page of that article, they put a little longevity clause in there. They said that perhaps the label call cannot ultimately make the transition from pre-network to network-based teaching and learning. That was a very prescient thing for them to put in there because it covers them in all eventuality. Because it's not unknown for acronyms to change. Back in 1983, it was commonly called CAI. Now, in 1983, there was a symposium on computer-assisted language instruction called for TESOL Toronto. And that's the symposium that led to the formation of the CAL intersection in 1984. And another thing that happened in 1983 was the Calico Computer Assisted Language Instruction Consortium was formed in 1983. Now, Calico has carried that name and carried that acronym forward into the present day. But John Higgins, whom you might know, was there at the symposium in 1983. And he didn't exactly say let there be call, but he did argue that that call was a better acronym than CAI. And actually, when he made that point, I disagreed with him. I said, no, I think we should use CAI because it's predominant in the literature. It describes what we're doing, and we've been using it for decades, for as long as people have been putting algorithms on computers that would hold people to tasks for long amounts of time so they could get in, do their mastery learning. That's what they used to do back then. So anyway, so it is possible that things could change. You never know what will happen. Nothing lasts forever. In case we were to change, there are many contenders. There's MAL, mobile assisted language learning, technology assisted language learning. There's, you can take the E versions, technology enhanced. I don't know of any mobile enhanced language learning. I haven't heard of that. And SMALL doesn't work very well if you make it enhanced. So so basically, now that we find ourselves in a network-based teaching and learning situation in the era of that, and we're here together at the CAL Conference on Social Call, it's appropriate that we consider how we reposition ourselves, even if some people choose to call it SMALL, some don't choose to call it SMALL, under the umbrella of CAL. So it's a worthwhile thing to think about. Clicking and nothing is happening. Again, my mouse is disappearing on me. Okay, must be the backlight. Okay, bringing us back to March of this year, I was part of a panel, an academic session at the TESOL conference in Atlanta on SMALL. And it actually, that panel started as a, it was proposed as a conference on social media language learning, or I should say an academic session on that. So that was the original title. So I've been pushing SMALL since 2009. I say pushing, I've just been mentioning it, dropping its name as much as I can, I suppose. But basically, it's never really taken hold. But here, I was able to convince these co-panelists that, and they agree with me, that yes, why not call it SMALL? So that's the first time that anyone has really, to my knowledge, paid much attention to what I've been talking about, saying about SMALL. But there it is. It took hold at the TESOL conference there. And by the way, just to go back to that slide at the bottom, if you click on the links on the slides, you'll find more information about, you can actually see the presentation itself. So moving on, this is some of the things I've been, I first mentioned SMALL to my peers in TESOL in 2009 at the Denver TESOL conference. And I've been writing about it here a few in the Dallas TESOL conference. I did something on thinking SMALL and Valentina Dodge put a post on a something I did. I mentioned SMALL. She reacted to it. That was in 2010. So these things have been coming up on and on. And then I wrote an article also in a book edited by Zhongbei Son, who should also be there somewhere, and a link to the to a version of that article and more information about my work on SMALL is posted at that other tiny URL, which you can find at the bottom of the slides. And by the way, I should mention that all the references that I'm giving here are in my blog post, which I the link is at the bottom of those slides and also on the last slide. So we'll come back to that. But so all the references you can find in my blog post. So just another thing I do in my spare time, I just looked on Google Scholar to see what Google Scholar says about SMALL, because to find some other acronyms, I also looked for those, like how, when did they start using MAL and things like that. So you get lots of articles referencing MAL, but if you filter Google Smaller, Google Scholar for hits from 2000 up to 2009, you get no hits on SMALL. Then in 2010, you get one for an article that I wrote. In 2011, someone referred to some work that we did. And anyway, even if you go through, you filter up through the current year, you only get 10 references. So it's not really a term it's gone very viral right now. Okay, so here's a part of the presentation where I don't really intend to rehash what I've been doing in social media. I've got those, I have slides that you can link to. You can see more examples of some of the things. I can just briefly tell you. I've been working with students online since 1998, and we had something called Writing for Webheads, which peers started paying attention to. We started something called WebEds in Action, which was a session in Electronic Village Online. All that history is getting to the fact that since that time, I've been working with teachers in various communities of practice and working closely with them to help each other learn about the affordances of using social media in collaboration with each other, and thus to take these things, carry these things over to your students. For example, in my case, when I teach students, I always have a wiki up. I always put things online for them, and I make spaces for them to, I call it actually DIY LMS, which is do-it-yourself learning management system. So some of the tools that I learn in collaborating with teachers, I put together in my own systems, which I can use in blended learning environments in classes that I teach face-to-face. So this is, these are many ways that we can have students, we can carry what we're learning with each other through social media with our students. But if you want to learn more about many, some other examples, you can go to these slides, which are linked to there. But I do have a story for today. And the reason I chose this story is that this person, I don't know if you've met Gavin Wu, but I was looking forward to meeting him because I was working very closely with him on an article that he wrote, because I'm the editor of the On the Internet column. You can call it a column. It's not really a column, but anyway. It's the On the Internet section of the TESOL EJ. That's the electronic journal, the last two letters. And I think, by the way, I've got a link to this article in the blog post that I referred to. So Gavin submitted an article, a very good article, and it was very good in conception, but language, some non-native speaker interjections there, which we worked with. I worked with him on it, suggested ways that he could change his article. He was very responsive, receptive to that. And in the article itself, it was about obviously mobile collaborative learning in a Chinese context, Hong Kong, I believe, yes, City University of Hong Kong. And he used, as an example in his article, the interaction that we had collaborating peer-to-peer over his article. He said, in academia, cross-national collaboration is nothing new. E.g., the teacher researcher in Hong Kong, him, collaborated productively in Google Docs with the section editor, that was me, in the United Arab Emirates, on this piece of work. However, the question we may need to consider is to what extent our students are prepared for engaging in such collaborative work models. So that's exactly the point that I've been making. It's just one example of the point. There are many stories. It's a story. Stories sometimes convey points better than we can through talking about theory. So he exactly hit the nail on the head. See if I'm trying. Okay. So that takes me to the part where I surveyed teachers to see. I'm curious when I'm in the UAE or my colleagues are in the States or some people are in Hong Kong, I'm curious about, sometimes, you know, it's like an elephant. You can see that you see one part of it, that is, you see what your peers are doing. For example, in UAE, I didn't feel that my peers were, that my colleagues were, obviously they're using social network with each other. They're using Facebook and they're using social media with each other. But they're not necessarily, they don't see the correspondence with using it with their students. So I wonder if that's just me, or are people in the United States much more open to that? Maybe in K-12, there probably are, just from what I can see in some of the work they produce. But anyway, so to look at that, to try to address that question, I put out a survey. And here, I direct you again, in case we've got about 10 minutes, so I can probably go through some of the examples. I pulled out some examples, some things from the survey, and put them here in the slideshow. But if you want to see the full report, you can use the link at the bottom of this slide, which you have if you've downloaded the slides. So you can see the full report there and all the data. But for this survey, waiting for my computer to respond. Okay. So I put this out on TESOL's lists and other lists of educators that I interact with, some of my networks. And I got 60 respondents. And one of the questions, I asked them was, who are you? And they did tell me that they were all educators. So I know that they all, according to their responses, they're all educators, no trolls as far as I know. So they said that, I asked them if they, sorry, I'm just going to kill my text chat, which is covering up part of my screen. Okay, so most of them tended to use social media with their students and in their learning, though many didn't use social media for either. So here are some of the results I got. 74% of these people are from all over the world. They said they used social media and learning from their peers. 19% said they didn't. So that's kind of a state of play. 2/3 said they used it with their students. Almost 1/4 said they didn't use it with their students. 85% agreed that social media holds compelling potential for language learning. So if you want to see the, I don't have the slide, the graph for that on this screen, but you'll find it in the write-up of this article that I just pointed you to. Again, clicking on the screen and the slide isn't advancing. So here, try it again. There we are. So I asked them also one thing that one question I have is, in my own context, social media was very distracting for my students. So I asked my respondents, do you think social media generally distracts from learning in the classroom? So about 50% agreed or were neutral, and another 50% strongly disagreed. So, you know, the argument is made that if you're not engaging your students, then you're doing something wrong or you're giving them the wrong thing. So, and somebody pointed out, yes, well, it depends on how social media is used in class, of course. But still, that is a that is an issue in social media. Almost 60, I asked them about using social media in their own learning, as I've talked about, that carries over into teaching, or in their teaching. So I was interested in both those things. And 60% reported positive experiences using social media with their with students in their teaching. 20% said they'd never used social media with students. In their own personal learning, 82% reported mostly positive experiences. Okay, and let's see, okay. This one, you know, I just mentioned in introducing this topic that in my context, I thought that my colleagues were not, they knew more about social media themselves than they knew how to use it with students. So I asked the survey response, the respondents that, and if teachers in general, if they thought that teachers in general might use social media themselves but not know how to use it effectively in their teaching, 85% agreed. 20% of those agreed strongly. So I was quite surprised to find that my own impression over in UAE was corroborated by these 60 people. So in so educators responding to this survey felt that many of their colleagues were not up to speed on using social media with their students, although they use them themselves. So that's kind of an important point that we can correct. How do educators perceive their students' use of social media? That is the same question about their students. Do they use it themselves, but do they know how to use it in their learning? And they might not know how to use it with their learning. 78%, a lot of people agreed with that, so that they 8% disagreed, but none strongly. So disagreement with that question, if they got the negative right, means that they feel that the students are not using it effectively in their learning. So this basically gave me, these are just some of the data I pulled out from the whole thing, about as much as I thought I could cover in this presentation. One of the open-ended questions was, why do you think, why, if you're not using social media with your students, why not? And some of the things that people said, there were privacy laws, rules at the college they were at. They think that students should talk to each other face-to-face. They didn't see a sufficiently strong pedagogical purpose to use it. It didn't seem relevant. One teacher said that he had enough trouble getting them into the things that he was supposed to use, like Moodle or Google Plus emails. Moodle provides enough opportunities for interaction. Incidentally, I thought it was interesting that some teachers did not perceive Moodle as being social media. Another teacher said that he used social media for personal social reasons and for professional development, but students tend to use it for their own social reasons and might resent a teacher intruding on that. That is possible. We're putting an article out in Tessalie J just now where a teacher used Instagram, had her students use Instagram to showcase their work and develop networks with other teachers. That will come out in the next issue of Tessalie J. And she had her students create a new Instagram account for exactly that reason, so that they didn't have interference from their personal space. And he said also it can blur professional and personal boundaries and appear inappropriate. So these are just some reasons that some people might not use social media. That was something interesting. I thought it came from my research. There's more to it. In case you just come in late, there's a reminder here that there's a presentation portal at a tiny URL, Cal 2019 Vance. And if you go to that tiny URL, you can have all these slides, the ones you missed because you came late. So that's not a problem. Everything is there. So anyway, basically, in conclusion, and I think it is about time to conclude, I don't really anticipate seeing the formation of a social media assisted language instruction consortium. I guess that would be SMALICO in my lifetime. However, I feel that social media assisted language learning in this new age of network-based teaching and learning is something that we all are probably paying a lot of attention to, or you wouldn't be there, and something that our field should pay more attention to. And in my opinion, prime and current focus in our using computers and language learning should be on what computers do best for language learners, which in my view is to facilitate communication among them and with native speakers of a language, largely through social media. That seems to me to be what computers do. And if you went from CAL, which is computer-based, which you're using to interrelate and go into what computers do for language, you might arrive at SMALL. Okay, so I think that's pretty much my presentation. There is more information on the last slide. If you get the slideshow, you'll have all of this. I've written out my remarks in a blog post. You can read that. You can link to it. There's a long version of an article I submitted to the conference proceedings, and I'm not sure if it's in the proceedings, but anyway, what I submitted to it is there at that Google Doc. And these slides are working at slideshare.net/VanceS. A recording of my presentation is being made right now and will be posted at my blog, and the tiny URL is on the screen. So that's it. Thank you very much. We may have time for questions. I don't know.
Questions, Q&A.
I'm going to plug in an earphone so I can hear properly. Okay. Can someone help me test the earphone? How did that go, Phil? Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Good, I can hear you fine. All right.
But you got the question.
Vance, can you, I'm Dini, can you elaborate a little bit more on the network-based teaching and learning, actually, like, I'm new to this idea, and I think you have a robust idea, but I want to hear a little bit more.
Okay, one of my slides refers you to another slideshow, which starts at slide 15. That's where I've elaborated on this, but what I've basically done, is that a 5 minutes you're holding up there? Okay, yes. Okay. Yes, for my own work, I've started something called Webheads in Action. I have an article, by the way, in Encyclopedia, the TESOL Encyclopedia of Language Learning, the one that's come out with Wiley Blackwell. And my article is on Webheads, but in that encyclopedia, I describe the work that I do. I also, if you go to vancestevens.com/papers, you'll come on all my articles. And also in this blog post, which I just put up on the screen. Maybe I could share that again. I could rummage around and I could share. Anyway, I don't know. I don't want to take too much time just doing that. But basically, in the slideshow itself, there's a Stevens 2014. If you go there, you can read more about the networks of learning that I've been doing for the last 20 years. So Electronic Village Online is one of them. That's something that is every January and February. Okay. That's a current one. Okay. Anything else?
Yeah, I have a question.
Okay.
You said you were surprised by the fact that teachers don't necessarily see Moodle and all these other learning management systems as social networks.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, they're quite right, because these are learning management systems, not particularly designed to make students interact with each other. They're not designed for peer interaction. They're designed for dissemination of materials, for teacher-learner interaction. And yes, there is a forum or there is a space where students can talk to each other as well. But the social network environment where you have your online identity, which is really geared toward that interaction amongst peers, mm-hmm. or it's not the same. And then teachers not seeing Moodle as a social network site, I'm like, yeah, that makes, for me, perfect sense. So why were you surprised by that?
Well, actually, in context, they also said they included Google Docs in that. So if it depends on how you use Moodle. A lot of we've lost Google Plus now. So for our social networking through Electronic Village Online, a lot of people were using Google Plus communities to form their spaces for interacting online. Now they have to find another space to social network themselves, and Moodle is one that we're looking at. So coming from that, you know, it depends on what you as a teacher do. And Moodle also is kind of sometimes a rebel, something that's outside. The school might be using Blackboard, but someone is running a Moodle server and bringing their students into Moodle. So Moodle is kind of a place where a teacher can set up a place to handle the learning management aspect and branch out to places where social media can be connected. So I guess I was thinking of it in that way, but I do agree with what you said and the way a lot of people use it. It wouldn't necessarily be social media, depending on how it's used, but it could. I mean, myself, I use, for example, wikis that point people to Google Docs, and in the Google Docs, I do writing feedback with them. We share Google Docs. So that, to me, is over the edge into social media. People can do a lot of sharing. You know, they can share projects with one another. Okay, 1 minute. All right, so anyway, yes, I agree with you, but, you know, there's also the aspect where some people use it more freely and in a social media.
I think it's also a definition discussion. Do you regard social media or social networking as a very broad concept or as a narrowed down? So that can be a definition discussion.
Okay, I didn't hear that clearly.
nothing too important.
It probably came out on the recording. Okay. Well, Last, okay, thank you very much. It's been my pleasure. Again, I'm so sorry I couldn't be there. I missed a great lunch today, apparently. Yeah. And anyway, here I am, feeling great, but just not there.
See you soon.
Okay, thanks very much. So let's see. I'm just going to talk to myself for a minute and put on the recording that there's something else I do called learningtogether.net. That's learningtogether with a 2.net. And this is Learning Together episode 415. And today is the 10th of July, 2019. I always put that on my slides. And people now are leaving my presentation. There were certainly were a lot of people there. Thank you very much for coming. And I'm going to stop the recording now. This is Vance Stevens, by the way, talking about social media assisted language learning, SMALL. Thanks very much. Phil, nice to see you. I see you're not leaving yet. Okay. Cheers, guys.
See you tomorrow.
Yep.